to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell time and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air. What a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away.
It is certainly getting near that time. Welcome back to the third and final hour of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. This evening, it is Saturday night, November 27th, 2 days past Thanksgiving, and yet here we are as the turkey continues to digest. James Edwards in studio, AM 1380, WLRM Radio, our flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee. And, of course, we're going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network while broadcasting, simulcasting online, if you will, thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com, making our show available to a worldwide audience, even if they don't live in a city where the cesspool is coming to you on the mainstream radio airwaves. It's been a great show so far tonight, as it always is. The first hour, Keith Alexander and I covered a lot of ground, and then in the second hour, we reveled in the fact that the Southern Poverty Law Center is getting criticized more and more, even by publications like the Washington Times. Wayne Lutton, the editor of The Social Contract, was on as we presented a little expose, cesspool style, of the SPLC. Now joining me to cap off the night's festivities in emphatic fashion, co-hosting with me for the third hour tonight, Winston Smith. Winston, how are you?
I'm just great, James. Had a great Thanksgiving with my family. I hope you did, too. I know you did, probably. You had a very close family there. And
I didn't have to eat any vegetables, so it was a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for asking.
Say what?
I said I didn't have to eat any vegetables, so it was a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's folks, you don't know this, but James faints at the sight of vegetables.
That's right. They have to take them in the other room when I come in to eat the turkey and all, so I don't have to have any ill side effects. But, yeah, it was a great Thanksgiving. We had about three of them in 2 days, actually. Went to my wife's family's and then my family's and then an aunt and a few cousins, and we did three separate turkeys. So it was a lot of action around the Edwards household. Now she's been up in the attic today bringing down all the Christmas decorations, and as much as I love Christmas and Christians, it's such a special time of year for our people. It's the season in which we celebrate our faith, the faith that moves us and motivates us to take action. I don't like a messy house. I'm a big believer in everything being neatly organized, no dust on the furniture. I keep a really clean house, and so it sends me into slight panic when all the stuff is down from the attic and still needs to be sorted and put up, all the decorations, the tree, oh my God, it's on the floor. I'm glad I'm at the studio tonight so I don't have to see it. Work was a reprieve this evening. let's talk about it. You know, we don't get to talk about it a lot. Now, you know, I'm sure after this week, the war on Christmas will be in full force. It is really a magical time of year for us.
Oh, you know, James, the war on Christmas started around the 4th of July. That's it's practically a never ending thing.
You know, and I don't know how you would describe it. Not a knickknack store, a home decoration store, I guess. But it, you know, they don't sell furniture; they sell knickknacks. And we got this nice little mantelpiece that says, "We say Merry Christmas." You know, I was talking to Keith about this at the very top of the show back in the first hour. Did you ever think you'd live long enough? And I guess you did if you could gauge, you know, the prevailing trends. Did you ever think you'd live long enough to where it's a rebellious action to say Merry Christmas?
No, I never imagined that, but that is the state of affairs, James. It gets worse and worse every year.
And what are the holidays? What are the holidays? It's Christmas. You know, the happy holidays. What other holiday is there after Thanksgiving but Christmas? You know, and it's like I told Keith, you know, God forbid the 98% of us who celebrate Christmas ruin it for the 2% who celebrate Hanukkah.
Well, the only purpose of Hanukkah is to detract from Christmas, James.
I thought that was Kwanzaa.
And then you have that sham holiday Kwanzaa out there. That's just a joke. But all these things are designed with one purpose in mind, and that is to take away from the recognition that we are celebrating the coming to earth of the Savior of mankind, Jesus Christ coming to earth, God in the flesh. That's what we're celebrating, and everything that comes after that or in conjunction with that is merely a distraction from that. And that's been our enemy's modus operandi since like Genesis 3:15 or Genesis 3:16, to detract from the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, come to earth to save his people from their sins.
Well, and in celebration of all of that and more, we will be, as I mentioned, playing some Christmas music. And say Christmas, folks. You know, not happy holiday. I'm preaching to the choir on this. If they're listening to this show, and I realize that not everyone shares our faith who listens to us, but they certainly can sympathize with us on that. I'm sure. But nevertheless, we're going to be playing Christmas music at the top of each hour. We'll play a couple of secular songs here and there, like the one you just heard, Jingle Bell Rock, and all that stuff. But we really like some of the other traditional Christmas songs, and so we're going to be using our might on the AM airwaves to play a few of those each week before each show we have before Christmas. So we'll have a couple of two or three weeks to do that. And hopefully that'll help get you into this special time of faith and love and hope for our people. It's very exciting. Well, and we'll talk more about that as we get closer to December 25th. But first, work once again must intrude. And so we still have some work that is to be done tonight before we sign off this evening. Winston, we got about 30 seconds before the next segment. Why don't you give folks a sneak peek about what you're going to be providing some analysis on when we return?
Will do, James. I'm going to be talking about a poster that is on the blog, I believe, James. It's that poster that the Navy has distributed. It's supposed to be an anti-STD or sexually transmitted disease poster, but it seems to have a misogynistic message as well, and I'm going to deal with that, I think, pretty conclusively.
Well, folks, you're not going to want to miss it. Winston has prepared quite a commentary, and it's going to be coming your way right after these words from our sponsors. You're listening to the one and only Political Cesspool radio program, the voice of the conservative right here on the Liberty News Radio Network, an authentic Winston Smith soliloquy coming up right after this.
Political Cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Winston made mention of it just before the last commercial break. He's got a nice little commentary prepared for you. And what it pertains to is a blog posting that I put up to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, on November 16th, so a couple of weeks ago now. It is, it's actually a picture, basically. This blog posting was essentially just a picture of a poster that depicts the United States Navy's official campaign for safe sex among enlisted, I would say enlisted men, but since this is the United States politically correct Navy, I'd have to say enlisted people. But it shows a young white girl with blonde hair and a black man. She's got her hand on his buttock. He's got his hand kind of on her thigh. She's smiling. He looks like, as Keith Alexander would say, a mule eating briars. And it says, safe sex starts with talking about condoms, contraception, HIV, and babies. It's okay to bring up the subject. Talk with your partner about contraception and STDs. Winston, you take it from there.
All right, James. Now, folks, when you think of sailors, a lot of iconic things come to mind, such as swabbing decks, crackerjack uniforms with Dixie cup hats, anchors away, haze gray and underway, tattoos, drunken brawls, and a girl in every port. And the Navy has always cautioned sailors about those girls in those ports. In the days of wooden ships and iron men, sailors were warned of, quote, one night with Venus, a lifetime with Mercury, unquote. Mercury, or HG, the chemical symbol, was the treatment for venereal disease, or VD, back then. Thank God for penicillin. In Winston Smith's Navy, we received cyclical reminders of the perils of casually engaging the charms of the fairer sex. The reminders were usually in the form of brief lectures by the doc, or the hospital corpsman, and humorous posters. I remember one poster showed a cartoon of a doctor holding this huge syringe with a needle the size of a railroad spike and some text describing the benefits of what I will call vulcanization. We've got to be polite on this show. Another poster depicted a Shakespeare-looking dude posing dramatically and saying, quote, a stiff prick hath no conscience. And the caption read, and neither do the germs that cause VD. Now, a list of preventative measures on this poster included vulcanization and a thorough scrubbing, quote, navel to knees and everything in between, unquote. The people who designed those posters were simply addressing a single issue and leaving it at that. They weren't trying to offend anyone, and they weren't trying to make a political point. Well, that was a while ago, but this is today, and everything today has a political point. Even sexually transmitted diseases, or STDs, the term that replaced VD, have become political. Take, for example, the Navy's new anti-STD poster, the one showing the black male and the white girl lustily embracing each other. The black guy is even reaching for his crotch, as they are wont to do. So, you ask, what about it? Well, it's offensive. That's what about it. Miscegenation is far more offensive than any message about STDs could ever be, and it's far more disgusting than the effects of any STD. And certainly there are some white sailors who are offended by the poster, but what can they do? They can't openly object to its race-mixing message because they would be accused of racism. And that'll get you kicked, that'll get you an honorable discharge quicker than you can say, but some of my best friends are black. In the Navy, just as in the civilian world, it just isn't safe to say that your God-given revulsion to race mixing has been offended. And that's odd, folks, because the Navy has a long-standing and time-honored tradition of segregation. What do I mean by that? I mean this. The Navy would never distribute a poster showing an officer and an enlisted person romantically or sexually involved with each other. The Navy, indeed all the military services, calls such relationships fraternization, which means class mixing. And class mixing is against military law, punishable under Article 134 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, or the UCMJ. And it prescribes anything that is prejudicial to good order and discipline. I'll read to you from the Navy instruction on this subject. This is from an OPNAV instruction. Quote, fraternization is the term traditionally used to identify personal relationships that contravene the customary bounds of acceptable senior-subordinate relationships. Although it has most commonly been applied to officer-enlisted relationships, fraternization also includes improper relationships and social interaction between officer members as well as between enlisted members. Unquote. The policy goes on to say that, quote, the prohibition of fraternization serves as a valid mission essential purpose, end quote. So there you have the Navy's official class segregation policy. Relationships that are prohibited as fraternization are personal and business relationships between officers and enlisted members and between chief petty officers that is E7 through E9, and petty officers, E1 through E6. Personal relationships include dating, cohabitation, and any sexual relationship. Business relationships include loaning and borrowing money and business partnerships. The policy is in place because the Navy rightly recognizes the many potential hazards of fraternization. It lays one open to charges of favoritism. It makes one vulnerable to manipulation. And in some cases, it can lead to outright blackmail. Furthermore, officers reckon themselves a separate class of people, qualitatively incompatible and socially superior to enlisted. Most naval officers would be disgusted at the sight of a poster showing an officer and an enlisted person posed as they are in that anti-STD poster, and they would strongly object to the class-mixing message it would send. Why is class revulsion more tolerable than race revulsion? Race baiters constantly rant that race is a social construct, a notion that is easily proved false. But social class is a social construct, and there's no reason why it should not be respected. But the problems caused by fraternization or class mixing are insignificant when compared to the consequences of race mixing. We are justified in objecting to the race mixing message the Navy seems to be sending with that poster. Then again, perhaps we're misinterpreting the Navy's message. Perhaps it's meant as a warning to female sailors. We know the Navy is dominated by females. All four Sailors of the Year for 2010 were women. Ergo, all communication, such as the poster about which I've been a-talking, must speak primarily to women. And we also know that compared to white men, black males are 7 times more likely to have syphilis, 10 times more likely to have AIDS, and 19 times more likely to have gonorrhea. Is it possible that the Navy is subtly telling its white girls to stay away from black guys? It's a reasonable inference. Besides all that, I like that the poster makes an association between miscegenation and sexually transmitted diseases. So there you have it, James. That's my commentary on your blog posting of November 16th.
That was absolutely, and I am not saying this because I feel obligated because you're my, you know, you're a co-host on this show. That was absolutely, absolutely superb. Thank you, Winston, for preparing that. I know that had to take a little bit of time. That is the brilliance of the Political Cesspool hosting staff, ladies and gentlemen, and I appreciated it.
You're just saying that because you know it's true.
Well, it's good. It's good. You know, every now and then, like I hope the listening audience will find themselves, I'm impressed by you guys. You know, I'm impressed by the team. You know, you and Keith, I surround myself with talent. You know, that's really the secret to my success. I find I surround myself with men far smarter than myself, and that's what makes the show so good. But we'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm still just basking in the glow of Winston's commentary. I mean, once again, that's the Political Cesspool at its finest. And now to continue on and with our standard of excellence, we bring back on a man who last appeared last week, our Political Cesspool, as Winston would introduce him, our intrepid correspondent, Peter Scoop Stanton from the Belly of the Beast, the Washington, D.C. area. He calls in on occasion with some reports. And, well, Scoop, what do you have for us tonight? Well, first of all, I got to, you know, out this here live on the air, I heard that you actually know someone that is not a fan of this show. Is that true? Could that be true?
That can't be. Yes. Even though they're few and far between, there's somebody who does not like the show despite hearing maybe less than 5 minutes of the political cesspool. And during that 5 minutes, yours truly was the guest or commentator of that show.
Well, who could it be?
That would be Mrs. Scoop.
See, your wife, your wife isn't a fan of the show to which you contribute.
No, she is not.
Why?
I don't know. Probably because I have fun. I enjoy what I'm doing. I work with a great bunch of people.
Yes, that's true.
I'm really into, you know, the cause that we, you know, the cause that we take and the what we stand for.
Ah, Scoop, I got to tell you, man.
That's hard.
Yeah, that's rough stuff right there. Tell me something to brighten my day. Your wife obviously has never heard us sing, so maybe, you know, if she could go to the karaoke bar with us one night, that would kind of, I don't know.
That's all it would take.
Believe it or not, my wife has a very good voice, and a couple years ago we were up in my parents' house in upstate New York, and we went to a place where they had karaoke going on, and I tell you what, she didn't tear down the house. She blew the couple that went before her just out of the water.
All the more reason she needs to go singing with us.
Right.
We'll have a battle of the bands. We'll have a battle of the bands. Well, anyway, you know, it's in all seriousness, we've gotten a lot of press this year. The political cesspool. I'm about to be posting an article as we inch ever more closely to our year in review show, which is always a highlight of the political cesspool's annual calendar. When you get to the end of the year and you do your year in review show, which we'll be bringing to you later on in December, we've gotten more press, more publicity, more fanfare, made more headlines this year than any other year that we've been in operation, now dating back to 2004. Incredible amount of press this show generated over the course of the last 12 months. But we did it in ways you might not know as well, including the covert scoop.
Yep.
Why don't you tell us about your? Is this something we can go public with? Your, you know, how you routinely get on a certain competitor's radio program?
The man is like a ninja.
Yes. As part of my duties as intrepid correspondent for the political cesspool, I borrow some things from other radio shows. And from wrestling, including signs that says the political cesspool, bring those to rallies and whatnot. And when I see a camera, I try to more or less assault the correspondent. However, one of our favorite competitors on the radio, Sean Hannity, I was able to not only get through and talk to him, but one day his people called me to be a guest on the show. Back in March of this year, I received a call from Sean Hannity's screener. She wanted to know if I was still interested in a third party. I was listening to Sean for whatever reason. He was talking about we don't need a third party. You know, he was rah-rah the GOP, this, that, and the other thing. And so then the call screener called me back because I tried to get on and I couldn't because he was on a tape delay or whatever. So she called me back, and I said, sure, I'll be on the Sean Hannity show. And this is back in March, and Sean was talking about we don't need a third party, and I said, we do need a third party, and that people are fed up with the GOP for throwing us under the bus. The Republican Party put Michael Steele as the head of the GOP as nothing more than an affirmative action hire. And Mr. Steele went on to D.L. Hewley's show, who was a third-rate comic who had a show on CBS that was short, a CNN who was short-lived. And Hewley said that the GOP convention looked like a Nazi rally, and Steele just sat there, just nodded his head. And it was under George Bush that gave us the Transportation Security Administration. And Sean Hannity did not want to talk about Michael Steele, but then said... mentioned about if Harry Reid was running for Senate and there's a third person running on a third party ticket, would that be kosher? I said, yeah, because people want more than just the Republicans and Democrats. Then I mentioned the United Kingdom has a British National Party that has taken the United Kingdom by storm. Then Hannity, who is very, very good at his job, asked me how many Republicans in the House and the Senate voted on the health care bill. I didn't know it, but he gave me all sorts of facts, and all in all, I think I held my own. Then, this past October, I got back on Hannity. I called again over something. I don't know. He just ticked me off. So I called the show. He was on Teat Delay, and they called me back. So then I went back on again, and then I explained that I was the Washington correspondent for a small independent radio show out of Memphis. I did not want to drop the name of the political cesspool because I was afraid I'd get caught off. People who are part of whatever organization would say, try to get on the Hannity show or other shows, says, oh, log on to gorepublicans.com or something like that. And Hannity would either, or the host would either cut them off or say, well, you know, this is not a platform for your show. And that's why I did not drop the name of the political cesspool.
Good job, Scoop.
So then I said that we needed more political parties because we won't have two choices like soda companies, Pepsi and Coke. I then mentioned the Republican Party has not done anything for manufacturing jobs. Then, since I did not listen to Hannity, Hannity cited some guy who said we needed manufacturing jobs on that show. So he kind of blew the wind out of my sails. Then he went on and on about the Tea Parties. And then I replied that the Republican power structure, including Karl Rove, wants nothing to do with the Tea Parties. And when the left calls the Tea Party racist, they do nothing except say that they're not racist, and then they don't attack, they just sit there and take it. Sean Hannity also cited Reagan and conservatives coming back to the Republican parties way back when. And then I mentioned that I left the Republican Party, and I did try to mention that no Republican talked about ending the Immigration Act or repealing affirmative action or the fair tax or anything of substance, but unfortunately I was cut off.
Well, hey, look, this is what I'm talking about, folks. Getting the message out, even if you have to do it covertly, and that's where Scoop, the intrepid correspondent, comes in. You know, he's getting on to Sean Hannity's show. I can't get an invitation on Hannity anymore, not ever since I turned him down on Fox a couple of years back.
But James, when I call up, I actually call the call screener that is like, I'm the Washington correspondent for the Political Cesspool radio show. It's just that on there, I didn't want to drop the name of the Political Cesspool because I was afraid I'd get caught off.
Oh, yeah, well, of course, then you would. So that's what I'm talking about. So I'm excited that you're able to do this. And you know, Scoop, you've been making news for us in your own way, for the Political Cesspool for a few years now. I can remember back during the campaign back in 2008. Where did you got us? Gosh, I can't even remember the name of the, we've been covered so much. I can't remember who it was. Was it a Palin or was it an Obama rally?
Well, Michelle Obama came to the Harrison Opera House in Norfolk, Virginia. I was part of the Hampton Roads meetup for Ron Paul, so I said, oh, it's a. Let me say hi to Mrs. Obama. She was having a fundraiser where tickets were hundreds of dollars, something I could not afford. So I had a sign that said, brought a sign that said thepoliticalcesspool.org on one side, and I forgot what I had on the other side. I think it was ECW because I did bring a sign in January to a wrestling match. But at that, there was somebody from the NBC affiliate, WAVY or Wavy News 10, was interviewing me, and I told her who I was and this, that, and the other thing, and she said, well, I don't know, we could use cesspool on the air, but there's a news clip. You could see me for about half a second holding up a sign. But,
yeah, but
Obama
it also got picked
go
up. It also
Oscar Smith High School in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Scoop, hang on.
Where
Scoop.
I was interviewed by the reporter.
Hang on, Scoop. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back. Shooting the bull with correspondent Pete Stanton now, who has, in his own ways, made news for this show above and beyond that which we can generate on our own accord. And he was talking about the time he went to the Obama rally to kind of crash it, and he had the political cesspool poster. Now, he didn't only get 2 seconds of airplay on a local network affiliate, Scoob. I don't even know if that would be worth mentioning. It got written in a pretty big article for a publication whose name escapes me at the time, but it talked about the, you know, the neo-Nazis here at the, you know, crashing the...
Sarah Palin went to the Virginia Beach Conference Center.
That's it.
And I had my sign with a whole bunch of different oddballs. Copank and Randall Terry was there. It was Max Blumenthal.
That's it.
People was videotaping me. And Randall Terry was there promoting whatever he was promoting. I didn't say a word. I was like, that guy bombed something or something. I was like, oh boy, I'll just stay away from him.
They tried to link I didn't know he was still alive. Him.
I mean, the most violence I've done was on a video game called Call of Duty, but that's another story. He tried to link us up with him, saying, "Oh, Randall Terry, neo Nazis, all these people are there with part of the McCain ticket." Meanwhile, Code Pink was there, anti-war protesters were there, all sorts of different degenerates were there. They never made the videotape. But I think that video was seen by about 30 people, all of them cesspool fans.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we probably put it up on the website. So, listen, you know, you do what you can, Scoop, and we wish everyone would support the show in every way that they can, and we'd get the message out a lot more, although it's becoming increasingly difficult to top each previous year with by making more and more headlines. I don't know. We've been in, what, 105 different newspapers this year. Got spoofed by Jimmy Kimmel, MSNBC, CNN. Been a big year. But Winston, Scoop, what else do y'all have for us tonight in the waning 5 or 6 minutes of the show?
Order your copy of Racism Smashism by going to www.depoliticalcesspool.org, $24.95 plus shipping and handling. Order yours today. Makes a great Christmas gift.
You know, I was going to, even though you jacked the price up a few bucks, I guess that's your commission for the plug, but it does make a great Christmas gift, and that was very astute plugging
in. I thought it was $24.95. What is it now?
Well, it's always been $19.99.
All the time I've been saying $24.95.
Like I said, that's the difference. We got to give you that commission, and we certainly don't take it out of our end. But,
a little payola involved.
Scoop, you got anything else on the docket here in the last 5 minutes?
Just stand by for the end of the year show. That's always the fan favorite. I know some of the things I'm going to bring up was the John McCain election with Sheriff Babu out in Pinal County, Arizona. yours truly attending a tea party, and some of the guests we've had on, including Mel Gibson's father. And all the media attraction we've done, as well as the live broadcast in Nashville. See, there's a big difference between the staff of the Political Cesspool and other radio shows. When James, you did your live broadcast from Nashville, you said, "Hey, I'm at this whatever hotel room, such and such, come on up." And you heard fans sitting in the hotel room. Where if Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh did a remote broadcast, especially say like Hannity went to one of those Six Flag parks for the Freedom Concert, he'd have his own security, he'd be his own little space, and he'd come out and say whatever, then go back to his secure area. I mean, we connect with the fans because we are fans. I remember sitting in near Dulles Airport with Mr. Edwards at a bar.
of course.
American Renaissance convention or conference, and people are coming up to James and introducing themselves, and they said, "Oh, are you James Edwards?" And he's like, "Yeah." And we're just shooting a breeze, like we're good. We're all good drinking buddies, and I, you know, when the time and the place comes where RBN starts cutting us big checks, we're going to be exactly the same.
Of course, it'd be good if we were on RBN, Scoop.
The ping and whistle on our dime.
RBN.
Liberty News broadcast. I'm sorry, wrong network.
Hey, you're backing away. He's too. Hey, Winston, how do you save that gaff?
I don't know. It's my daughter keeping me up at night. I don't even know what day of the week it is. All I know is like, hey, it's festival night. That's about it.
Hey, Winston, you got to take it. I'm at a loss.
All right. I'll say that for our upcoming year in review show, I'll have my my annual top 10 list of most hateful quotes for 2010. And I'm working on a speech for James called The State of the Hate. So as the official speechwriter for the cesspool, I guess James will be reading that.
You know, that's actually something I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that was something you did last year for the first time. I think last year was the inaugural year for that, the top 10 most hateful comments of the year. And that was a really good piece you put together. So I'm looking forward to the encore presentation of that. Although we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I know we're all excited because it's the first couple of days after Thanksgiving. You start looking to Christmas and then there's New Year's. But still got a full month of this year left and a lot of work to be done. But never too early to look forward to something that's exciting. And
well,
certainly that's what
we're
doing.
I already have the number one most hateful quote picked out, and I don't think it's going to be topped ever. But then I said that about last year's number one most hateful quote, and by gum, they found a way to top that one. So I'm looking forward. It's been a difficult year to choose which ones were more hateful than others, because with the immigration debate and all that, there was a whole slew of hateful lines from which to choose, but I think I've got it narrowed down to the top 10 that will suffice.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. It's there's a lot to look forward to. So we're whetting everyone's appetite for that, which is still to come this year on the political cesspool, and then of course we got to set the stage for what is to come in 2011. And I'll tell you, it's always hard to top the previous year's success, because we've been lucky enough so far to have become bigger and bigger and more well-known and celebrated each and every year. It'll be hard to do it in 11, do more than we did in 10. But we're going to give it a good shot, and I'm actually working on something right now on my side of the studio, a little project I'm working on that could help propel the cesspool to that next level of fortune and fame. Well, I don't know about the fortune, but
is it the action figure?
Yeah, the action figure. Well, listen, guys, we got to wrap it up right now. We got to go out with a good Christmas song here. But love you guys. Thanks for being on the show tonight. On behalf of the entire Political Cesspool hosting staff, Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, and correspondent Scoop Stanton, as well as the hosts that weren't here tonight, Bill Rowland and Ed Bombardier Miller, I'm James Edwards. God bless you. Live life the way we do with that retreat, surrender, or apology. See you next week.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Jesus, our Emmanuel.
for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.